Dr. Finlay's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin, with Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay. In The Honours List, written and adapted by Donald Bull.
Will I give you another cup, Doctor?
Oh, no thanks, Mrs. Calcutta. That was splendid. What was it you were saying, Ben?
Jim. It was Jim. We both joined the Old Caledonian as lads together. What was it he cried, Cathy?
The Old Caledonian. That was a while back, Ben.
Aye. Before the Northeastern took over. Tulloch. That was it. Jim Tulloch. He's in the picture there with me when they gave me the medal.
The doctor doesn't want to hear about those old days.
Is Jim the one without the arm?
He lost it. He was one of them trapped in the rear van. Over the embankment, it was just holding by the coupling. I had to break through with an axe.
You've told the doctor that a dozen times.
It's always worth hearing again. Are you uncomfortable, Ben?
The bedclothes, she aye draws them too tight.
Whatever I do, he wants something different. If I lay the bed this way, he wants it that.
I like to see out the window.
Oh, and then he grumbled that the light was in your eyes.
She doesn't ken. She doesn't ken what it is to be like...
Yes, she does. I must be off. My patients are waiting.
You'll come again next week, Doctor.
If I ever missed a crack with you on a Tuesday. Goodbye, Ben.
I do all I can. I pushed his bed around so he could see through the window and he couldn't stand the light. And when I closed the curtains, he didn't want that. And I sleep so light listening for him.
I could put him into the hospital.
Oh.
It would take the strain off you.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
He's happier here with his memories about him and you.
Whiles I come into the room and he's sleeping so still and I think if only he could go like that. And I feel as if I was killing him.
That's only because you love him. Don't try and hide your thoughts. They're not wicked or wrong. I'll look in again next week or any time you need me. You're not alone. Remember that.
Arden House? Yes. Who is that? Sir Alec Jennings. Yes, Doctor. Sir Alec. Dr. Cameron will be in, I expect, about six. Yes, I tell him, Sir Alec.
I'm back, Janet.
Doctor, who do you think that was on the telephone just now?
Who?
Sir Alec Jennings.
Oh. What did he want?
He's looking in at 7 to see Dr. Cameron.
Sir Alec, oh, we're honoured, aren't we? They say he uses a gold-plated stethoscope ever since they made him a knight.
He is a very distinguished man, Doctor, and I am sure he earned his knight.
Yes, indeed. Now, why can't one of us be called to Balmoral next time Queen Mary has tonsillitis?
Our labours lie in humbler spheres, Doctor.
They certainly do.
Oh, do you think he'll expect to stay for supper, Doctor? I was only making a hot pot. I'll just see if I can catch the butcher.
Keep the thermometer in your mouth, Donald. How long has it been like this, Mrs. McHenry?
He came home from school this morning a wee bit off colour. I gave him his dinner. That was all the things he likes. A gammon rasher with peas pudding and a pie with custard.
Did he eat it?
He spewed it up again.
I am not surprised.
I sent my man right away for you. The lad's been lying there more than 4 hours.
There is a flu epidemic, Mrs. McHenry, with only myself and Dr. Finlay to cope. Well, let's have that thermometer.
Is it a bad fever?
No. His temperature's quite low. Open your mouth, Donald. That's it. As wide as it'll go.
Oh, he'll be sick again.
No, he won't. We don't appear to be brushing our teeth very thoroughly.
It's no his teeth.
It will be one of those days if he eats too many puddings and sweet things. Now let's see about these pains. Do you feel any across here?
No.
No tenderness?
No.
All right, pull down your vest.
What's that whim, Doctor?
He's got flu, gastric flu. Keep him in bed. Keep him warm. And no food for 12 hours. Just some water or watered milk. He'll probably be sick again.
Well, they see they need something to be sick on.
They see. I don't. The boy's clogged with food. He'll come to no harm. I'm giving him a laxative and something for the fever.
You said he hadn't.
He'll probably get one. It's nothing to worry about. If I can, I'll look in again in the morning. Good night, Mrs. McHenry. I'll see myself out. And you, Donald, look after those teeth. You won't get any more when they've gone.
Good night, Doctor. Well, I'm not going to let you starve for all he says. I've got a nice piece of liver for your father. You can get some of that down.
Alec, I saw your Rolls Royce. My apologies.
Angus, my dear old friend.
I see they've given you a dram.
Oh, yes, I'm being entertained royally by Miss McPherson. Well, how are you, Angus? You look frayed, man.
Oh, just overworked. I'd take some of that whiskey if pressed, Janet.
No, Doctor.
You are looking resplendent, Alec. By the by, congratulations. About the knighthood, it was splendid news.
Oh, that. That was mainly for Edith, but pleasant, I don't deny.
You'll take dinner with us. I don't know what we've...
I've made a jugged hare.
Oh, it's tempting, but I mustn't. I'm supposed to be dining in Glasgow in an hour's time. Now, I really must apologize, Angus, descending on you in this fashion.
I am delighted you did.
If you'll excuse me, Sir Alec, Dr. Cameron.
Well, of course, Janet.
Well, how long is it, Angus, since we last met?
Well, it must be 5 years, the last Hamilton Award dinner.
That was it. You know, it's delightful to be with you again. It makes me conscious of what I've missed. A quiet country practice close to the real thing.
They're real, all right.
Actually, it's apt you're recalling that we last met at the Hamilton Award dinner because that's what I've come to talk about, the five-yearly award. You know I chair the selection committee.
You chair everything chairable.
Touché. But that's why I have to be in Glasgow tonight. There's a meeting. I wanted to sound you out first. I want to propose your name for the award.
Are you serious?
Never more so. And I don't want any flam about your being a humble country medico and not being worthy of it.
I am staggered you should even suggest it.
Good. That's what I want to do. Stagger them.
The award's always...
I know. To the member who, in the eyes of his colleagues, has best served his profession in the past 5 years. So who always gets it? Some chancer like me or the bright lad who's invented an entirely unnecessary new operation? Now, this time, Angus, I want the award to be a demonstration that the profession still knows where its heart is. I want it to go to the man you and I and every doctor knows as the guts of the trade, the GP. Are you all right, Angus?
Yes, though. Well, no, I think I have a slight chill.
Have some more of your whiskey. It's the finest cure I know, and I've tried them all. But, you know, in a way, I owe this to myself, Angus. I'm as big a fraud as the rest.
No.
Well, perhaps not as big as some. Now, let's say I'd like to put the books of my conscience straight. Will you take it?
I don't know what to say. I am in your hands.
The Hamilton Award? But that's marvellous.
Oh, Doctor, I'm so glad.
Well, that's the biggest thing in Scottish medicine.
Well, I'm pleased for your sakes. And now, if you'll excuse me from supper, Janet, I think I'll take an early night.
You're not here?
Oh, just tired. Perhaps a chill.
Oh, Lord, you've got it.
I have not. It's merely a chill. I will sleep it off.
I'll get you a hot water bottle and some milk and brandy and a beaten egg.
Thank you. You can leave out the milk. And the egg.
The Hamilton. Oh, there's justice in the world after all.
Come in, Janet.
Oh, I thought I'd see whether you were awake yet, Doctor. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I've had a good sleep.
I'll bring you something to eat. I've made a milk pudding.
Well, what time is it? Noon?
Mm-hmm.
Have I slept that long? You should have woken me. Is Dr. Finlay out?
Yes, Doctor, and he's taking your calls.
I wanted a word with him about the McHenry boy.
He's looking in there, too, Doctor.
A bit puzzled. The temperature was atypical. However, it's probably nothing. Well, I'll rest another hour, Janet, and I expect I'll take evening surgery.
Hello. Hello.
Is there something wrong, Doctor?
I'm on to Lanark Infirmary. They're trying to find the senior surgeon, Mr. Greville.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, they're taking their time about it.
Hello, Greville.
Mr. Greville, this is Finlay, Tan of Grey. I'm sending an urgent operation case to you. Donald McHenry, age 12, acute peritonitis. He's on his way now by ambulance.
Have you established the cause of the peritonitis?
No, I've no idea. The boy's acutely ill. I've just bundled him in. It doesn't seem to be the appendix. At least, Dr. Cameron saw him yesterday and found no signs. I'm afraid we've been treating it as gastric flu. Looks pretty touch and go to me.
We'll keep you informed, Dr. Finlay.
Thank you. That's very good of you. We will be anxious to know. Oh, Dr. Cameron, I didn't see you.
Acute peritonitis?
Yes, he's going to operate at once. Could it be the appendix?
No, I don't see how I could have missed that. Peritonitis.
He said he'd bring back at 9, after he's operated. Hello. This is Dr. Finlay of Tanagh Bray. Could I speak to Mr. Greville, please? Left? Now, it's about an operation case I sent in this evening. A boy, Donald McHenry. Oh, I see. Could you tell me the cause of the peritonitis? I see. Thank you very much, sister. The night sister, she says peritonitis caused by a ruptured appendix. He performed appendectomy and drainage. That's all she said.
It seems I was mistaken on both counts. And the boy?
He's not too good, but she thinks that they caught him in time.
Oh, his poor parents. That poor woman.
It's Mrs. McHenry, Doctor.
Thank you, Janet. Come in, Mrs. McHenry. Please sit down. There's better news from the hospital this morning, I'm glad to see.
The sister said my lad nearly died.
It was a very serious operation, but Donald's out of danger.
No thanks to you, is it?
Mrs. McHenry, I realize to some extent you must hold me to blame. I should have got to your lad sooner, but we had no reason to believe
Dr.
that...
Dr. Finlay...
I have nothing against you, Doctor. You got to Donald as soon as you could.
Dr. Finlay has no responsibility in this. He did all that was right, all that was humanly possible. I understand your complaint, Mrs. McHenry.
You said the boy had flu. He had a burst appendix.
Gastric flu. The symptoms can be very alike in the early stages.
Dr. Finlay. Mrs. McHenry, I can only say Donald had every symptom of gastric influenza. There had been an outbreak at the school. He had come home sick with the typical pains and nausea.
You said I'd been overfeeding him.
You had. But that is not the point.
It isn't. The next day, my lad has to be rushed into hospital with a burst appendix. They said if it was 2 hours later, he'd have died. And you say there was no sign of it.
I examined the boy and found no sign.
Examine? You weren't there 10 minutes.
Now, that can be enough.
It wasn't, was it? You'd give more than 10 if it was a paying patient.
Your boy had the same treatment I would have given any patient, private or panel.
Then I'm sorry for him. Sorry for the rest of
you him. You mustn't say that, Mrs. McHenry.
A doctor is not a god. I diagnosed your son to the best of my ability, my experience. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Aye, you're right to be. I'm no doctor. I'm just a mother. But I know you near killed my boy. I know that.
This is right.
Oh, rubbish.
I've made a mistake. I had the clue, the boy's temperature. It was lower than it should have been.
That could have meant anything. All right, you made a mistake. So have I. Dozens. What doctor hasn't? Unless he's a liar.
Would you have mistaken a septic appendix for influenza 20 hours before it burst? I want to know why I made this mistake.
Anyway, it's pointless. The boy was saved. It's done with.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's a wretched, stupid business. I understand the boy's well in the mend now. Have you spoken with Greville?
No, he's rather difficult to get hold of.
Well, I'm not sure it would be worth much. Stiff fellow. Good surgeon, but what are these McHenrys?
The husband's at the tanning factory, a quiet man. The mother is...
Yes, I know what you mean. It says here to answer a charge of professional negligence. Negligence? Idiots. Look, I know there's nothing in this charge. Every doctor gets this sort of thing. But the fact is it comes at a damned unfortunate moment.
Well, that's why I had to speak to you. Of course, I can't embarrass you before the society. I am relinquishing my claim to the award.
No. I wouldn't dream of such a thing.
It's entirely necessary. We don't know what the finding of the tribunal may be.
Now, that's nonsense. You'll be there, you'll speak to them, and that's all that'll be necessary.
In any event, I won't risk putting you in a false position. I've written you this letter formally. It simply says that on reconsideration, I feel it would be an injustice to other members with hired claims.
Well, if you feel you must.
At least I shall be able to claim the virtue of modesty, or perhaps simple realism. Well, Ben, how are you today?
The minister was here.
The minister? Mr. Ferguson? Well, that was kind of him to look in.
I wish he hadn't. I didn't want him here. I didn't want her to be feared.
There's nothing to fear.
I had a wee dog once.
A dog?
A wee terrier, and it strayed. I was a wee lad about 7. There was this tunnel they used for the quarry work, and it was nae mair than 400 yards. He'd gotten there, you see, and he didn't know how to get out. I didn't have a lantern with me. I knew there would be light at the other end, but in the dark, walking alone. To go into that, alone in the dark. Doctor, you won't let that happen. You won't.
He's in the surgery, Doctor. I think he's writing his report for those people in Glasgow. Did you speak to the surgeon, Doctor?
Greville, yes. Now, don't worry, Janet. The tribunal are absolutely fair. They're doctors, and they know the way things happen. At least I hope so.
Oh, I cannot help thinking, if only I had woken...
Look, I could say the same thing. Suppose I had the sense to visit the McHenrys earlier. Do you not understand? The damage was done.
You think he was in the wrong?
Janet, he thinks so.
I do not believe it. There must have been something. There must have. And he shouldn't have given up the award. It meant so much to him, though he never admitted. Why did he have to do that?
Because Sir Alec Jennings, the gold-plated royal doctor, didn't have the guts to stand by a friend. And because Dr. Cameron didn't want to embarrass him. God, embarrass him. But his own professional future's at stake. Janet, do you know how long I've been with Dr. Cameron and how much I've saved in those years? About £120. And no medals, by God. Do you know what's made it worthwhile and nothing else? It's to have worked by Dr. Cameron and seen what being a doctor is all about. I'd better go into him.
Yes. Oh, come in, Dr. Finley.
Am I disturbing you?
No, I was writing. I didn't know you were back. It's this report they've asked for. You might cast an eye on it. I assume it's the sort of thing they want.
Yes, of course. But you will be there in person. That's what's going to count. I'll have a look at this.
I don't know much about these disciplinary proceedings. I gather it's never really possible to know which way things will jump.
Well, there can't be any question of it. You'll be there. They're doctors, like you, and that's that.
Still, on the supposition... quite honestly, I feel I need a holiday. Do you think you'd be able to carry on? It might be for some time.
Now listen, you're not losing this case, and you're not retiring.
As to the one, you can't say. As to the other, it will be my decision.
You weren't to blame. Now, you must believe that.
I will if they tell me so. At the moment, I just don't know. Do you?
Brought the car round. Dr. Cameron, the car's ready.
Thank you.
You will drive carefully, Doctor.
Yes, Janet, I will. Both ways. The pair of you look as though I was embarking on the tumbrils instead of just driving to Glasgow to a meeting.
Will you telephone us when you know the result?
If they tell me, I imagine the tribunal delivers the quietus on the spot. I've no idea what form it takes. A few pounds fine, perhaps.
Oh, now, what is it? Yes?
Mrs. Calcott.
Oh, Doctor, could you come?
But the doctor has a very important appointment.
What is it, Cathy?
It's Ben. He asked for you.
The doctor can't come, Mrs. Calcott. I'll see him.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes. Come with me, Cathy. I'll take you in the car.
But you've got to be in Glasgow. It's vital. Dr. Cameron, you're chucking your case away.
Ben?
He was talking to me this morning. He was talking about the house and...
He's feverish. Get some hot water in the cloth. It'll soothe him. It's all right, Ben. We'll soon have you more comfortable.
Doctor.
Yes, it's me, Ben. I'm here as I promised. Cathy, go and rest. I'll stay with him. You've been up all night. You're worn out. Try to sleep. There'll be no change for a long time. I'll call you.
Yes, Doctor.
Janet, I thought I heard the telephone. Was it Sir Alec?
No, Doctor. It was a patient making an appointment.
And he's still there, with old Mr. Calcott. With that surgeon's report and his not being there to speak for himself, he's thrown it away.
Ben, what is it? Is it something you want? What are you looking at? Your medal. I'll take it down. Is this it? Is that what you wanted? There, I'll put it in your hand. Hold it. You know, Ben, you never did tell me how you won that medal. Shall I read what it says in the citation? Now, let me just get it to the light. The Albert Medal, awarded to Benjamin Geddes Calcott in recognition of his courageous rescue of 6 men trapped in the rear van of the southbound Aberdeen-Dundee Express after derailment 1 mile north of Pennybridge Viaduct. At great peril to his life, Benjamin Calcott crawled onto the roof of the van which was hanging over the embankment, attached only to the next van by its coupling, and with an axe hacked an opening in the roof for the trapped men to escape. June 17th, 1903. There. That's something worth having, Ben. That and your medal. That's something to be proud of.
Janet, he's back.
Doctor, we heard the news.
They've cleared you.
Sir Alec telephoned.
Telephoned?
Yeah, it was Greville. His report did it. Do you know what happened? The boy had a displaced appendix. It was miles away from where it should have been. Greville said he had to extend the incision and hunt before he could find it.
I see.
You're tired, Doctor. Give me your coat.
Yes, thank you.
But nobody could have guessed it without surgical examination. So how could you?
And they cleared you, Doctor. Oh, it's Mrs. Calcott, isn't it? Won't you come in?
Could I see Dr. Cameron?
Well, he's taking surgery just now, but I'll tell him. Doctor, it's Mrs. Calcott. She wonders if she could see you.
Of course, Janet, sure, in.
Mrs. Calcott?
Come in, Cathy. Sit down, sit down.
I didn't want to disturb you, Doctor.
You're not. You're looking better, Cathy. That's good.
I just wanted to thank you, Doctor, for coming to Ben's funeral.
Of course I came. He was a friend.
And for the way you helped. All the time he was ill. And at the end, being with him so that he didn't go alone. That's what he feared more than anything.
Are you going to be all right, Cathy? You've got a pension. I believe it's your house, isn't it? Ben owned it.
Oh, aye. He was a good, careful man. Doctor, Ben never had much, but he asked me to give you something.
Oh, I do not want your money, Cathy.
Oh, it's no money, Doctor. It's this.
I see. Yes, I would like that. Thank you. Janet! Janet!
Yes, Doctor? Oh, is Mrs. Calcott gone?
I let her out. Come into the surgery. I want to show you something.
Aye.
Look at this.
Oh. It's a medal.
She said Ben Calcott wanted to give me something. This is what he prized most. His medal from the Humane Society.
A medal?
Do you know the words of Ecclesiasticus, Janet? Honor a physician with the honor due unto him for the uses which ye may have of him. For the Lord hath created him. For of the Most High cometh healing, and he shall receive honor of the King. Yes, that's something worth having.
Listening to The Honours List, written and adapted by Donald Bull from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows. Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank. Janet, Barbara Mullen. Dr. Finlay, Bill Simpson. Kathy Calcott, Dorothy Smith. Ben Calcott, Arthur Lawrence. Mrs. McHenry, Miriam Margulies. Sir Eric Jennings, Archie Duncan. Dr. Greville, Roy Spencer. The play was produced by Trafford Whitelock.